All right, tonight I want to speak on business, dynamic business. What's the title that I gave this thing? Business dynamics. There we go, got it right. Colossians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 22. The passage tonight somewhat resembles the passage that we looked at last week in the dynamics of the family, of the husband-wife relationship, of the parent-child relationship. There are some parallels here. But before we get into what the Scripture has to say, I want to do a little aside on three different economies, as I did last week on the outworking of the Trinity. And this will help us a little bit to understand what's going on. Three economies that are prominent in the world today, and the one that's first there in your study sheet is capitalism, which is what we have operating for the most part within our country today. Capitalism emphasizes private ownership and market-driven economies. Individuals or groups of individuals, whether a partnership or a corporation, own the means of the production, which would be the land, the factories, etc., and make their own decisions concerning the amount of production, the selling price, which is usually based upon a supply and demand in the marketplace. Its goal is profit for its owners. Now, there's some pluses and minuses, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But under capitalism, people own things. And consequently, people can do with their things whatever they decide to do. Now, is there any government interference? And the answer is, there's always government interference. Government is oftentimes involved in setting minimum wages, which is an absolutely ridiculous thing. Minimum wage. Do you know how many times they've changed the minimum wage? More than 25. Well, what happens is this. Say the minimum wage, and I don't know what it is today. So let's just say, for example, it's $10 an hour. The deal has been we want to get it up to $15 an hour. Suppose you've been working for a company for a number of years, you've gotten proficient at your job, and you're now making $14.50 an hour. Tomorrow, minimum wage goes to $15. You're going to get a 50-cent raise. And the person who they just hired, who has no proficiency in their job, no training, is going to get the same wage. Is that fair? Well, in order for it to be fair, your wage should go up proportionately. So what happens when all the wages go up? Price of the service or the product goes up accordingly. And what happens? The price increase offsets the wage increase, and you're back to square one. It doesn't do a thing. But it sounds really good. $15 an hour, minimum wage. But that's capitalism. Under capitalism, we'll make a little graph here. On the vertical side is the number of people in a category, and on the horizontal side is wealth. Under capitalism, you're going to have basically a standard bell curve. You're going to have a few people that probably won't want to do much of anything, that are lazy and won't earn that much. You'll have some people that are ambitious, industrious, and they're going to make lots of money. They're on the left or the right-hand side there. But most of the people are going to fall somewhere in between. That's usually how capitalism works. Communism. Communism eliminates private ownership. It's the exact opposite. The government regulates all means of production. All business decisions are made by the government. Its goal is to create a classless society where assets are distributed equally. Communism began with Marxism and a labor revolt. Here you had some people that were making lots of money and others, workers, that weren't making the same amount, and there was a divide between them, and Marx comes along and says everybody should be equal. And so he brings in communism. And consequently, at least in theory, everybody's getting the same thing. Now there are a few that get a little bit more and a few that get a little bit less. But the idea is everybody's in the middle. Socialism, a hybrid of capitalism and communism, where there is private ownership as well as government regulation of the parts of the economy that are considered as essential resources. Its goal is the redistribution of wealth, creating a more equitable society. Now, not everybody is going to get the same thing, but we're going to put an extra burden on those that are rich and give them to the poor and squeeze the ends a little bit so that you have somewhere in between. Your middle class is a larger group than any of the other ones. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, doesn't it look like communism has the most people in the middle class? Not really. What happens? Well, under, hey, what happened? Under socialism, you have a problem. Margaret Thatcher stated it quite eloquently years ago. Sooner or later, you run out of other people's money. What's the problem? What's the problem with all of these things? The problem is not in the economy itself. The problem is with the people who are in that economy. It's called a sin nature. Look at capitalism. Positively, it can provide great financial reward for those who work diligently and make good economic decisions. That's great. Negatively, it can easily lead to greed, where profit is all that matters. And that greed is a matter of the heart. And the person who is greedy says, I want it all for me. I don't care about anybody else. If I have to crawl over people, stomp them down in order to profit, I will. Unfortunately, that can happen under capitalism. Communism, you don't have the greed because everybody's getting the same. Oh, wait a minute. Here is this person who's not doing much, and here's another person who is working, and this person who is not or is doing a whole lot of work is saying, this person isn't doing, and I'm not getting any more than him. Why should I labor at the same pace? And rather than us all being in the middle, communism moves to the left. The whole thing changes place. You look at communist countries, and the standard of wealth is far less than capitalistic countries. Socialist countries, it can provide financial reward to some, but then the problem is the government comes along and says, you have too much, we're taking it and giving it to the poor. And the rich person, who still has problems with greed, says, if you're going to take my money, I'm going elsewhere. And now you don't have the rich to give to the poor. And it doesn't work. Why? Because of the problems of the heart. Now, with that being said, which is the best for sinners to work in? What would God have us to use? And the answer is Psalm 24. The earth belongs to whom? The Lord's. It is private ownership. And He does with it whatever He desires, the fullness thereof. Well, that's just one verse out of the Old Testament. If you've opened to Colossians 3, keep your finger here. Turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 5. Acts 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Stop right there. They sold a possession. They did what they wanted to do. Sounds like capitalism. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? It belonged to you. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, could you not have done with the money whatever you wanted to do? Was someone forcing you to do something that you didn't want to do? Now, Ananias' problem was not that he kept part of it back, but that he made it look as if he was delivering everything. And God judged him for his lying, not for his use of the money. People will say, well, see, here this is communism. Here's the rich taking and giving to the poor so that they can all have the same. No, it's not communism, it's commonism. The rich voluntarily, not by order, giving so that there can be an equality. It's not the government telling them to do. I would say that based upon these two verses, and I think there are other ones that will back it up, that the way to go is a capitalistic society. Now, can it be abused? Absolutely. But here's the interesting thing. What do you hear most about people in the country today talking about the middle class? They will say it's disappearing because of greed. Corporate greed, who want to make a profit, and the rich are getting, and the middle class is disappearing. And what's the solution to the problem? Socialism? Communism. New York City? The guy who's probably going to be elected mayor? The communist. Socialists all over the place. Why? Because there's the middle class. Everybody's in the middle class. But unfortunately, it takes the whole thing and moves it to the left-hand side there. We're not as rich as a society as well off. Now, what's the problem? The problem is the heart. Not the economy, but the heart. Mike and I were talking a couple of months ago at before men's breakfast about labor unions. And I said to Mike, I understand the need for labor unions. I wish they didn't need to exist. And the problem is today, we have this idea, and it's necessary because of the human heart, where ownership is saying, we're in it for us, and labor is saying, we're in it for us. And I'm going to suggest to you that the Apostle Paul is saying, you need to be in it for each other. Let's look and see what he has here. Colossians chapter 3. There are four verses here to the end of the chapter that deal with servants. And then the first verse of chapter 4 deals with masters. He's dealing with a slave and slave owner relationship. Now, we don't have that to a great degree in our society anymore. And I think it is legitimate to apply this to ownership and laborers. So we'll make the servants the laborers. We'll make the masters ownership or leadership or management. Four different verses to the workers. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The command here is to be obedient to those who are in a supervisory position, to the bosses. The extent of the command is in all things. Now, if you're working in a contractual setting, you obey the contract. If you have a contract that where the ownership says, these are the things you're going to do, then those are the things you do. If the boss says, I want you to do something that's not in the contract, there's no necessity of being obedient. That's the contract. When God made a covenant with the nation of Israel, the Mosaic covenant, he gave them 613 different commands. He never added a 614th. Oh, I forgot this one. Can you add this one? Nope, didn't have to. Now, that's because God is God. But you have a contractual relationship. You are responsible to be obedient in all things in that contract, not beyond it. But if there's no contractual relationship, then whatever the boss says, you do. In all things, even when you don't feel like it. Notice how you're supposed to do that. Not with eye service. If you look on the front side where the Greek is, second line there is the word eye service. You have the letter O, which is an omicron, a phi, which is PH, a theta, which is TH, an alpha A, a lambda L, a mu, which is M, and another omicron, ophthalmo. Do you hear an English word? Paulette, I see you shaking your head. Ophthalmology. Or ophthalmologist, the person. That's where this word comes from. Now, look at the next couple letters. A delta, a D, an omicron, a upsilon, and another lambda. Look right above it, the word servants. You have the same letters. You have I servants. What's he talking about here? I want you to be obedient to your bosses in all things, not only when they are looking, is the idea. The boss isn't here. I can goof off now. I have a problem with my boss. He's always looking. I can't get away with anything. But that's the idea. And sometimes we say, okay, well, he's not looking. I can take some time off. When I was in eighth grade, I had to take French. Everybody had to take French in the school I was going to. One day we were in the language lab. You go into these little cubicles and you put the headphones on and you hear, usually it's a taped message and you respond to it and the teacher is up front and they can pick which cubicle they want to listen to. And about the middle of the class, the teacher said, I need to leave for a moment. teacher's gone. The headphones came off. I hung them up on the hook on the side of the cubicle. I laid back. This is great. Till I looked in the glass in front of me and I see the reflection of the teacher standing right behind me. It's amazing how fast those headphones can get put back on. We think we can do that when we're on the job. No one's looking, I can get away with it. Well, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. God is always watching. And ultimately, He is the supreme boss. So, the command is to be obedient in all things. How? Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Who is my boss? Well, the immediate one is the supervisor over me, but ultimately it's God. And we are laboring for Him. As I stated this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We work out our salvation, out of our salvation, as unto the Lord, not unto men. And therefore, whatever we do, it should be done heartily. I'm putting my all into things. You hear people, well, you need to give 110%. Can a person ever do that? All you can give is 100%. You don't have 110. That's philosophically impossible. But we think we're doing good when we do 90 or 75. No, that's not it. Why? Verse 24 and 25. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance. Not the inheritance because of what you do, but the reward of the inheritance. The inheritance is eternal life. Communion with God for all of eternity in heaven. But the reward. There are rewards. At the Bema Seat of Christ, there are rewards that are passed out. And they're based upon what we do. Now, I think most of those things are understood spiritually. What I do for Christ in evangelism or what preaching or discipleship and that type of thing. But I can't help but think also how that translates into how we go about our daily lives in the work that God has called us to do. We receive the reward of inheritance for you serve the Lord Christ. But notice also, there's no escaping temporal punishment, verse 25. When we slack off and we're not obedient to these commands, we give a half-hearted effort or we slack off and do nothing, God says, hey, wait a minute, you're ultimately working for me. And it's going to cost you. And God can make life pretty rough. That's the command to the worker. What about the bosses? Masters. Notice what the masters are called. The second word in verse 1 is kurioi. The last line, next or second to last word, is kurion. The one is translated masters, but the last one is translated Lord. It's the same word. Those who have authority over another. Give your servants that which is just and equal. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like DEI to me, doesn't it? Sound like DEI to you? Or could it be something else? Diversity, equity, inclusion. Give that which is just, that which is equal. The just is the idea of righteous. It is a fair reward. Look out for the welfare of your employees and pay them what they deserve. And that which is equal. Ah, everybody's got to get the same thing. No. The person who has worked a long time and has a history of faithfulness should not be paid the same as the person who has been on the job for a week doing the same job. There's a quality of faithfulness that the other hasn't accomplished yet. And the first should have something that is greater than the other. The person who has more skills than other labor should have a greater pay. But the equal there is commensurate to the responsibilities and the abilities that they have. There's an old joke about two guys that were down in a ditch digging. Foreman was up on the road, just writing things down on his clipboard. And the one fellow down in the ditch said to the other, "Something's not right here. We're down here and we're doing all this work. We're sweating, we're getting blisters, our backs are hurting. And this guy's up there and all he's doing is just writing some notes down on a clipboard. And yet he's getting paid a whole lot more than we are. That's not right." The other fellow said, "You know what? You're right. I'm going to go ask him what's up." So he went up and he said to the foreman, "We're talking down there. Why is it that you get paid more than we do?" And the fellow said, "I can tell you why. I'm a whole lot smarter than you are." The guy said, "No, you're not." The foreman says, "I'll prove it." He put his hand down on the ground. He said, "Now make a fist and hit me with all your might." The guy said, "Oh, this will be good." And he wound up. And just as he came down, the foreman pulled his hand away and he smashed his fist on the ground. "I guess you're right." Went back in the ditch and the other fellow said, "What'd he say?" He said, "He's smarter than us. That's why he gets paid more." The other guy said, "No, he isn't." The guy, first guy said, "Yeah, he is. He proved it to me." And he said, "How?" He said, "Make a fist. Now hit my hand." There was an inequity between their abilities. And there should be an inequity between their compensation. But if all else is equal, pay fairly and equally amongst your employees. Don't show favorites. Why? That which is just and equal, knowing also you have a master in heaven. What kind of a salvation do you have that I don't have, or vice versa? And the answer is, every one of us has the same salvation. How many sins have you committed that I haven't committed? Or the opposite way around? Does it make any difference? And the answer is, Christ died for them all. And consequently, he gives equally to us. Knowing that we have a master in heaven who could say, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, I'm in it for me." But God so loved the world that he was in it for the world. And when we start looking out for the welfare of others and not the greed of just ourselves, it doesn't matter what the economy is. It's going to work. Now, the problem is 90% of the world can't deal with the issue of sin. No economy will change the heart. But hearts can change economies. And that's where we are tonight. Let's pray. Father, we look around the world, and I believe we're heading in the wrong direction. Not just in the violence that's going on, but in how we spend our dollars and cents. We talk about the greed of the rich, but the greed of the poor is just as great, because the human heart is just as sinful. Lord, help us tonight to realize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And it's not my money and somebody else's money. It's yours. That we might be good stewards of it. That we might look for the welfare of others. Not be forced to give against our wills, but be willing to give according to your goodness to us. And may we make the world a better place because how we serve you in our labors. For Christ's sake, I pray in his name tonight. Amen. Have a good week.